Wednesday, January 27th, 2016. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. We're going to have fun with Twitter polls today. And good afternoon, guys. What'd you think about the Denver-New England game? Pretty damn nifty, huh?
Nifty? That's the word we're going to use? Is nifty?
It was a neato game.
It was a very, very interesting game. Didn't go like anybody thought it would. And more proof that offensive line play, very important and very crucial to winning in the NFL.
Just throw the ball to Gronk.
Yeah.
Gronk.
Who do you think would have won overtime?
New England.
Yep.
Yeah, the Broncos really couldn't move the ball, and they're going to have trouble against Carolina Panthers. Our big Super Bowl preview will be next week, but we'll talk a little bit about it today. Now, as usual, with the teams being eliminated, the Patriots and the Cardinals, we'll discuss when we're going to draft key players on the Patriots and the Cardinals. And if you want to hate the Patriots even more, you should read Jason Lockenfora's story on CBSSports.com about how beautifully positioned the Patriots are. Pretty much every single player on the team under contract for next year, and they have cap space. So they're going to be pretty darn good. But I have a how about that stat for you. And here it is.
How about that?
How about stat?
How about that stat?
Yeah, there you go. Deion Lewis. So he played 7 games, but I'm only going to count 6. I'm going to eliminate the game he got injured in. So in those 6 games, you take those 6 games, give him just 14 games, not even 16 games. If he had played 14 games at those rates, Deion Lewis would have been the number 9 running back in standard, the number 3 running back in PPR for the season. Over 14 games. How about that stat?
How about that?
Oh, that's why you called it how about that.
Yeah, because like, how about that, you know?
I thought you were about to be like that baseball announcer.
How about that?
Yeah, he did it better than you.
Yeah, I believe he does that in The Naked Gun, right?
He does.
Yeah.
Do you know that Deion Lewis was the most consistent running back in fantasy this year?
Was he really?
85.7% of the time, he gave you at least 10 fantasy points. Now,
so six times?
That's 6 out of 7 games, exactly. Could he have kept it up for 14 games? Well, of course he would have. He's a Patriots running back. They're consistent. That's what we know them for.
Well, that particular role is usually consistent. Just depends on how good the player is. I mean, you know, you got various 6-game stretches of guys.
Of course.
Where they were good. 14 to 16 games, not so much.
Okay, but listen, Deion Lewis, I think he looked pretty good. He was pretty surprising, you know, the first time. Well, I had seen him before, but really first time with the Patriots, that opening night game against the Steelers. Like, whoa, this kid can play. Who do you think was better, Deion Lewis or Shane Vereen in that same role with the Patriots?
Oh, Deion Lewis.
Vereen would have like 1 or 2 games a year where you'd be like, yes, that's good. That's why I started him, or that's why I drafted him to my team. And then all the other games would be terrible disappointments. Lewis was better than him.
But he's legit, right? I mean, you guys watch him. You think Lewis is a good football player.
I remember liking him when he came out of Pitt. I believe he went to Pitt.
He did.
And just injuries just totally crushed his career. So the fact that he was able to play 7 games, it tells you a story that everybody around the NFL has pretty much known, which is he has a hard time staying healthy. And when he does get on the field, he can make some plays. It was good to see. I would be very nervous about taking him as a number one running back next year.
Okay.
He's like a low end number 2 for me in standard.
In a PPR league, are you taking Jeremy Hill or Deion Lewis?
Lewis. Assuming he's healthy for training camp.
Well, yeah. Listen, I think it's safe to assume that he'll be, well, I guess it's not quite safe to assume that he'll be healthy for training camp. But if he is, then yeah, I don't mind Lewis going ahead of Hill, because you'd almost rather have Lewis for as many games as he's healthy for producing at the rate that we've been getting versus Hill, who you're going to end up starting and being disappointed with. So
Hill's touchdown dependent. I mean, if he didn't score last year, he didn't give you a good number.
Well, but we're hoping
he's losing his OC now.
We're hoping he's going to be better, you know.
I think Hill's better in standard, but in PPR, you got to buy into the guy's going to catch the ball. And that role is, if it's Lewis's, I mean, look, James White gave him some good production down the stretch.
And who knows what they'll do with their other type of running back. Do they keep LeGarrette Blount and just let him be
the
power runner? I know, but they could re-sign him for $1 million a year, he's probably not going to turn that down. That could buy him a lot of, never mind. Or they could draft somebody. Maybe they sign somebody else. The Patriots know not to invest a lot in Steven Jackson. Yeah, I don't know if Steven Jackson's going to make it next year.
Standard scoring league, Latavius Murray, Deion Lewis.
Standard.
I'll take Murray in a PPR too, because I think he can hold up longer.
They have to add somebody else.
Yeah. Oakland?
Yeah.
Oh, Oakland. I thought you meant New England.
No. Well, New England's going to add somebody or bring back Blunt, but Oakland can't get by with just Latavius Murray, Roy Helu, and
Helu's out of there.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready? Are you ready for the big transaction of the offseason? Unless the franchise comes into play, you can tell me if it can. Patriots sign Alshon Jeffrey.
That's interesting. That
they
would
do need to upgrade at the outside receiver spot.
How about they've needed Patriots? That since like 2007.
How about the Patriots sign Matt Forte?
No. They can't be stopped if they get a downhill passing game. I mean, that's what lost them the game. They had nobody to go over the top against Denver.
I'd be shocked if Alshon went there.
Alshon's not going anywhere. They'll franchise him.
Right.
The Patriots do need to get, I don't know if they're going to sign somebody. I think they're going to draft somebody.
Fine, but they desperately need an outside wide receiver.
I mean, do you know some of the other wide receivers that are free agents? There aren't a lot. James Jones is a free agent.
I don't know.
That's
Reuben Randall. Reuben Randall is a free agent. You can eat your heart out.
All right, great. So they'll go get him. Marvin Jones, Travis Benjamin is a free agent.
Marvin Jones is interesting.
Vincent Jackson's due a lot of money in Tampa Bay. He might come loose. Same thing with Larry Fitzgerald. Calvin Johnson, if he chooses not to retire. All those guys are due a ton of cash.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the Patriots, where we're drafting Tom Brady, and then look at the Cardinals as well. We got, again, Twitter polls to get to. Emails. If you want to email us, please email fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I, and please put football podcast in the subject line. And thank you all for listening during the offseason. Hope we're able to entertain you. Did you have any other thoughts from Sunday? My fiance and I were watching the game and really enjoyed them, especially the Patriots game.
Well, that was the game to enjoy. The other one was...
What'd you say there?
I said we really enjoyed the game.
No?
Nah, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just messing with you.
What did you say?
He said my fiance and I.
Oh, the cat!
I just thought I'd try to sneak that in on you. Didn't happen.
Come on!
What about Carolina, Arizona? 49-15. My goodness, they're good.
I told you Carolina was going to win. I didn't think they'd win by that many points with Arizona coming in, but I knew that Carolina is a very, very good team at home, and Arizona isn't quite as good on the road.
Well, I think the finger injury for Palmer has been a problem for him. You know, you look at the way he's thrown the ball since week 15 when he got hurt. Hasn't been good. And then losing Tyrann Mathieu, I think, really hurt that defense.
Every time David Johnson touched the football, I was going, don't get hurt, don't get hurt, don't get hurt, don't get hurt. Like, we need as many versatile, physical young running backs we can get for fantasy next year. And it would have been just devastating if he had somehow gotten hurt in this game.
Yeah, well, that was the time to get hurt. You got the whole offseason to recover.
No, like if he tears an ACL.
Well, not that, but.
Well, but I mean, that's what I'm thinking is, you know, don't get, it's one thing if he sprains an ankle and has to limp off and he's done for the game. It's another thing if he's got
no reason to talk about it.
Right.
Initial Super Bowl thoughts. What do you think decides the game?
Whether or not.
Manning's arm?
I really think it comes down to Cam and how he's contained and how good his blocking is.
Do you think it's going to be close?
Yeah.
I think Carolina will pull away.
Man, I just can't see Denver keeping up. They look so bad offensively after the first drive.
Let me ask you this. Does Thomas Davis and Roman Harper play? And Jared Allen?
You know, I'm going to say that I'm going to say that if Jared Allen plays, I expect very little from him. I feel like...
No, but it's just another guy that gives him a little presence on the outside because their outside pass rush hasn't been exactly great all season.
Thomas Davis, yeah, he'll probably play. And
that's stunning to me.
Because
I was watching
guess.
With my fiance, and when we saw him coming off the field, we both thought that was that, and he wouldn't be able to play. And, you know, what a shame because this guy has gone through so much adversity in his career. And now they're talking about he's going to be able to make it. Good for him.
Well, I don't know about the injuries, and obviously we'll know more this time next week when we podcast again. But, oh, man, Denver just, their offense looked very bad after the first drive, especially in the second half. They were dreadful.
If I had told you that the Broncos were going to score 20 points, who would you have picked to win that game?
Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the Patriots were going to hang 31 on them. They'd find a way.
Well, Carolina's offensive line is much better than New England's.
Yes.
And that's a big part of the game.
That's been one of their surprises this year.
Well, I mean, you also have a quarterback that can escape pressure.
Yeah. Okay, guys, let's get to some emails here. Email today, number one, is from Pete in Tinton Falls, New Jersey.
Hi, Pete.
Last year, we drafted and cashed in on all of your recommendations, Amari Cooper, Todd Gurley. I know it depends on where players end up, but with the NFL 2016 draft quickly approaching, who will be this year's shining NFL prospects that guys should keep an eye on in fantasy? All right, first time talking about this, I think. So NFL draft, I'm gonna tell you one thing. Alex Collins is going to be a running back that's taken maybe on the first day, maybe more like the third round, second day. And he went to Arkansas. Arkansas is coached by Brett Bielema, who used to coach Wisconsin. So if you hate Wisconsin running backs, beware of Alex Collins out of Arkansas.
But you like SEC running backs, though.
I do, but I don't trust Brett Bielema. And actually, I think the biggest question mark for me is Derrick Henry, because obviously he won the Heisman. He had an amazing year. But he is so big, and it is like hard for me to imagine a guy that big being good in the NFL, but maybe I'm crazy. I don't know how you guys feel about Derrick Henry.
It always is going to come down to where they end up. That's the bottom line. So
opportunity is almost more important than talent.
In some cases, although we've been burned by that the last 2 years with Bishop Sankey and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, right. That's a fair point. Although we kind of saw it with Melvin Gordon during the preseason. And that saved us.
But still, he had
opportunity. We didn't see that with Sankey.
He had opportunity, though.
Yeah, but
I mean, if there was anybody that had opportunity, it was Melvin Gordon.
Well, you know, Ezekiel Elliott.
The best name on the board at running back is Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State. And then, honestly, everybody else, I haven't really gone through it, Adam, but there isn't anybody else that stands out, which is not a good thing.
No, but I mean, you know, at this point, last year, David Johnson, Thomas Rawls, these weren't guys that we were like, oh, my God, you have to draft them.
Right, right. It was Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley.
Right. So there's going to be, you know, this is when the names start to emerge, the second-tier names, the Derrick Henrys, Ezekiel Elliotts, everybody's going to know because you've seen them enough.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to find out about, you know, guys like Jordan Howard and Kenyon Drake. And, I mean, I'm just reading names here. I don't know enough about these guys to tell you. Kenneth Dixon.
We got time.
Yeah. Yeah, and as far as wide receiver goes, first of all, I think it's going to be, like, the top 10 picks are probably going to be a lot of linemen on either side of the ball. Jared Goff, the quarterback, will go.
You'll probably see two quarterbacks in the top 10, and I think you'll see Laquon Treadwell.
Yeah, Treadwell, the
And
Ole
I've
Miss
seen
receiver.
Him play, and he's fantastic.
He is, yeah.
He's really, really good. I haven't seen any other wide receivers enough. I've seen a little bit of Tyler Boyd from Pittsburgh.
What I'm going to be most interested in.
I think he's good.
Boyd is good. What I'm going to be most interested in is Derrick Henry and what they're saying about his quickness, because he looks to me, and I'm not a scout, I'm just like anybody else out there. He just looks to me like a guy who takes a while to get going because he's so tall. And I want to know what they say at the combine, what the scouts have to say about that, because that's my big concern with him. And
well, okay. So what are some teams that make sense for him?
For a running back? Well, for Elliott, really? Or
no,
for
no. Henry? Elliott, I think, can be a player wherever he goes. But Henry, like New England, we just talked about, New England needs a running back.
Right, they need a physical.
If he's their guy, how
guy.
Much do you number three?
At the very least, he could be a candidate to do what you thought LeGarrette Blount was going to do last year.
Well, Blount was doing it before he got hurt.
Right.
I mean, you know, it was every two or three games he gave
right,
you good
but I think he'd get more yardage than LeGarrette, too.
Oh, I think there's more upside with him, sure.
Of course. Sure. But I also don't think he's going to have a year like Gurley had.
No. I mean, Elliott would be the closest to Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, like, if he goes to Giants, that's a Giants running back.
No, I don't,
It might have been a Giants running back with Tom Coughlin there.
But no.
Not anymore.
No, because, I mean, Brandon Jacobs wasn't a Tom Coughlin guy.
I don't think Derrick Henry's
pretty sure he won a
Super
Bowl with Tom Coughlin.
But wasn't he drafted beforehand? Or maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
Are you thinking of Rondane?
No, I think Brandon Jacobs was it during the Coughlin era, but I don't think Derrick Henry's a top 10 pick. The Giants have a 10 pick.
No. Henry could slip to the second round.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe Elliott goes in the top 10, but not Henry.
I'd be stunned if Elliott went top 10.
Well, Dane Brugler has him going to the Giants at number 10. So I'd be a little surprised too, but not stunned. Anyway, we have plenty of time to talk about it. Those are some of the names you want to familiarize yourself with. I think maybe people a little gun-shy on wide receiver after 2015. What do you think?
I mean, you know how this league works. It's cyclical. So 2014, that led to a lot of these guys being drafted 2015, and they weren't all great.
No, they were terrible, except for Cooper. Email of the day number two is from Brian, and he is from?
Brian is from Jackson, Mississippi.
He says, hey, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, and Reptile. And now instead of guessing, because we know they're Mortal Kombat, tell me who your favorite to play with was. Scorpion, Sub-Zero, or Reptile?
Sub-Zero for me.
I never played.
What?
Yeah. Come on.
Never. Or maybe like occasionally.
Whoa.
I was NBA Jams.
NBA Jam, Dave. It's just one jam.
Sorry.
Scorpion for me. All right, anyway. After hearing a few podcasts about payouts. You like Madden's? After hearing a few podcasts about payouts, keeping people engaged, awarding teams with high point totals who don't make the playoffs, here are some of my thoughts. My league pays out the high score every week. So out of all the teams, the team with the highest score in the league that week wins some money. So it should reward the good teams because you would think they would get some high scores, but it also engages all teams during the regular season to keep trying to get some, if not all, of their money back.
Yeah. I have a basketball league that's like that, where you get the highest score gets something every week.
You guys like that?
We used to do it in our keeper league that I'm in with my buddies, where in week one, the prize was real small. It was like $5. But by week 13, which is the last week of the season,
gone up every week.
$75. Right. You could win a lot of cash back.
And also you reward the high score at the end of the season too. So whoever had the most points for the season got money. And that happened to me in one of my football leagues this year where I had a very good team going into week 14 with Andy Dalton, Tyler Eifert, and Thomas Rawls all getting hurt in the first quarter. So I still won money.
Mm. Not that you're better.
But I would have probably had a good chance to compete in that league for a title.
Now, I think the one thing, though, you guys can tell me, because I've never played in a league like that. I did play in one baseball league where they paid out the at the end of the season, at the end of the regular season, the highest point total. But those are usually leagues that are for a lot of money. I mean, you need a lot of money to be paying out every week.
Well, I mean, just the basketball league that I'm in, it's a $100 entry fee, if that's a lot. You know, I mean, it's to me, it's a good amount. You know, I don't know if it's like over-the-top expensive.
No, it's not. Well, a little rich for me, but no, I think most people probably play in leagues like that. All right, some injuries, news, and notes. Marshawn Lynch reportedly leaning toward retirement, and Calvin Johnson may retire. I don't know if we ever actually talked about that. Let's talk about Marshawn Lynch and the Seahawks running back situation. I know Jamie had Thomas Rawls as a first-round pick. The guy averaged 5.6 yards per carry, and Marshawn Lynch only averaged 3.8 yards per carry, by the way. But, Dave, you did not have Thomas Rawls as a first-round pick. So let's discuss. If Thomas Rawls goes in, let's say they draft someone, but Rawls goes in as the starter, the guy in Seattle, what are you thinking about Thomas Rawls in 2016?
I think he's a top 15 candidate. Just worried about him keeping this up. Okay. I mean, it should be a good opportunity for him, but you just said it. They could add another running back. We'll see what that offensive line looks like. I see that Russell Okung is having surgery, and he's going to miss some time. And I feel like the coaching staff there will have more confidence in Russell Wilson now after what he did throwing the ball in the second half of the season. So being the running back in Seattle doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be 25 touches a week. He's not Marshawn Lynch. He hasn't earned that reputation yet. He just, right now, if Lynch is out, he's the guy that'll see the most amount of work.
He did look really good, though.
He did.
Jamie, you still consider Rawls a potential first round pick if he's the guy?
Oh, for sure. He's my fifth ranked running back. And I think you look at, if you're inclined to take a running back in the first round, he's a first round pick. So, I think you look at what he was doing while Russell Wilson was throwing the ball at a high level. He was playing at a very Marshawn Lynch like performance, like pace, putting up those numbers that you were expecting Marshawn Lynch to put up. So I don't think Russell Wilson throwing the ball well or poorly has anything to do with how Thomas Rawls will play. If he's the starting running back there, and I would be very shocked if they invested anything more than a late round pick on draft day on a running back because of their cap situation, and trying to bring back Russell Okung as a free agent. So, given what this offense is, given what Thomas Rawls showed, he's, to me, David Johnson is 1A in terms of the young running backs that we saw last, I take it back, behind Gurley. It's Gurley, Johnson, Rawls to me in the way these running backs are. And Rawls is right there with those other two, in the top five.
So who are some running backs you've got Rawls ahead of right now? Like Jamal,
well,
Charles?
Jamal Charles, that would potentially change if Charles comes out, training camp looks great. That he's sixth for me. So I would maybe move Charles ahead of Rawls, but I mean, everybody else.
Devontae Freeman, LeSean McCoy.
Yep. Doug Martin,
ahead of those guys?
All those guys.
Yeah, not for me.
We didn't discuss Calvin Johnson, did we?
No. This happened after our last show.
Yeah, so he might retire, and he was the top 10 wide receiver in standard scoring leagues. He was the number 9 wide receiver. He was number 12 in PPR. And he had his lowest yards per catch of his career. But you know who else had his lowest yards per catch of his career? Golden Tate, actually, only averaged 9 yards per catch. So I wonder if it was more offensive philosophy than performance slip. But I also feel like we all watched it and said it throughout the year. Do you guys kind of feel like Calvin Johnson just didn't really look like a stud anymore?
I would imagine that's why he's considering doing what he's doing, because he doesn't feel like he's playing like the same guy.
Yeah, well, I mean,
if he's coming off of another 1,500-yard, 15-touchdown season where it was consistent throughout the course of the year, 100 catches, you know, and was just dominating week in, week out, I would be surprised if he'd feel like he needs to retire. But his body's starting to break down. His ankle's been a problem now for, 2 years. I would imagine physically he's not the same. He's been missing practice. You know, it's one thing when guys are resting during practice because they don't need to practice. It's another thing when they can't practice. And I would imagine with him, it's he can't practice.
Well, I think it's so interesting, Dave. For him to finish as the number 9 fantasy receiver in standard scoring leagues, I think if you asked his owners, they don't feel like they drafted a top 10 wide receiver, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because he had that big game on Thanksgiving, but what is your take overall on Calvin Johnson's 2015 season?
I think it was disappointing. I think anybody that took him was disappointed in him. And the worst part about it is that there were games where Matthew Stafford had success and Calvin Johnson still did not come through and had a big game, or didn't have a big game, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried that injuries are taking a toll with him, and that eventually he's just going to wear down and be just this really tall accessory in an offense that needs a superstar. And, you know, he just didn't seem like the same to me. Finished the season, he had 2 games at the end of the year that were really good, and then 2 games weeks 12 and 13 that were really good, and then in between, 1 fantasy point in each.
Yeah.
And I'm worried about him. I think that might be what we get from Calvin Johnson from here on out is, you know, once every 2 or 3 games, you'll see flashes of what he once was. But otherwise, it'll be 6, 7, 8 fantasy points.
And Philadelphia.
He's a good number 2 receiver.
Philadelphia signed Zach Ertz to a 5-year deal, $42.5 million. And Brent Celek, 3 years, $13 million. Of course, Ertz much more fantasy relevant. And the way Ertz finished the season was really impressive. His last 4 games, he had at least 78 yards in all 4. He had 98 yards in 3 of the 4. 2 big games with over 120 yards for Zach Ertz. Only caught 2 touchdowns this year. Maybe that's a little fluky. But are you guys going to be looking to kind of ride the wave of Zach Ertz, the momentum he took from the last 4 games of 2015 into 2016?
Yeah, he's a top 10 tight end. I mean, it's hard to get around the way that he played. He's got an offensive coach now who's got a history of using the tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only thing right now, at least from my perspective, is who's the quarterback. You know, so if it's somebody that is averse to using tight end in his history, you'd be a little bit more concerned about it. But if it's Sam Bradford again, which sounds like could be.
That's what Ertz wants.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
He was talking up Sam. Then you're looking at a scenario of, okay, status quo. I'd be fine with him, you know, as a guy you get with mid-round pick.
And I agree. I think he's a top 10 tight end, but he's going to be closer to the bottom of that top 10.
Okay, Ertz or Martellus Bennett?
Oh, that's not even a question. Ertz is in the conversation with, at least for the way I would view it, Kelsey, Barnage.
You got Graham in there?
No, I would take him over Graham by far. Graham with
I'm not there yet.
The I know injury. I don't want any part of Graham. Graham's not even a top 12 tight end for me.
Julius Thomas?
He's in that group, yep.
Austin Seferian Jenkins?
I like Ertz better.
Okay.
Martellus Bennett, I don't know what team he's going to be on next year.
All right, let's talk Twitter polls here. I voted on this one, Dave. You said, where would you draft Eddie Lacy in 2016? You gave four options. Round two, rounds three and four, rounds five and six, or not drafting him. Now, my vote was the worst vote, apparently, according to Twitter. I voted for round two. And then as soon as I did it, I was like, really? That seems like early. And only 9% of the people who responded, about 3,000, said round two. Round five and six and not drafting him both came in at 27%. And rounds three and four, 37%. Your winners there for Eddie Lacy. What would you have voted, Dave?
I think I would have. I almost wish I made a category of round four or five. Because if he, let's just say he doesn't improve his body type and the Packers don't add anybody else, that's probably where I'll hedge it and say three and four. But there's so much, and a lot of people recognize this, and they tweeted back at me saying, well, what if he loses the weight? What if the Packers add another player? What if this? What if that? And all those things are definitely possible. All those things could happen. If we take the Eddie Lacy that we have right now and we drop him into the exact same situation with that team next year, I think he's a round four type of player. I don't think you can expect him to improve. But if he does shed 20 to 25 pounds, it's no secret that he was playing heavy, and he's motivated to play well. I believe he's entering a contract year. Yep. Yes, he is entering a contract year. Then you can talk about Eddie Lacy moving into round three. I do think he's a number two running back, even as a heavy Eddie. But if he lightens his load, then yeah, you could talk about him as a top 15 type guy. Okay, but it will come down to what he's facing competition-wise. James Starks is a free agent this year. If James Starks is gone, someone else will be there. He will have to fight for playing time.
So our next Twitter poll, this one was from Jamie. Is Allen Robinson worth drafting in the first round next season? And I think, Dave, you actually had Allen Robinson in your top 12.
I do.
Well, you are in the minority, but 35% of the people said yes, 65% of the people said no. Jamie, your vote would have been what? Allen Robinson, first round pick.
No, he's a second round pick. But, I mean, he's a top 12 receiver. So it's just a matter of how many receivers you expect to go in the first round. And Adam, you and I talked about this. I should have probably specified standard or PPR, because I do think that it's the 35 is a little high for standard. It would have been lower, I think, if it was just specifically standard. PPR, I think he's worth drafting in the first round.
Well, based on his numbers, you could make a case for him in the first round. Based on what he did last year, what is it about Allen Robinson that you think is more second round than first round?
Well, I think there's just a few better receivers that would be ahead of him in the first round. And the second part of it is we've had this conversation with Pete Prisco, which I agree with Pete, that they're not going to be as bad defensively. And there's going to be more targets going to some of the Julius Thomas, Rashad Green, Marquise Lee trio to take away from both Thomas and Hearns. So, Robinson and Hearns, excuse me. And you saw it last year when everybody was healthy. Robinson's numbers declined a little bit. You know, his best games came when either Hearns or Thomas were out of there. So he's a very good receiver. But I think he's going to suffer just a little bit by better defense, not chasing points as much, and more mouths to feed in that offense. Plus, I think the running game will be better with TJ Yeldon.
All right, and finally, this was my Twitter poll question. Better Super Bowl catering option, wings or pizza? And wings wins with 54% of the vote compared to 46% for pizza. Fellas, what would you guys have voted, wings or pizza for the Super Bowl?
Well, as an expert in this field, Adam, I'm going to go ahead and say that pizza would have been the proper answer. When you're having a Super Bowl party, you're going to want your fingers to be they're going to get dirty no matter what, whether we're talking about wings, pizza, nachos, hummus on pita, whatever. Your fingers are not going to stay clean, but you don't want them to get to the point where they're just covered in buffalo sauce that could stain a shirt, for example. I know we've all been there. I think pizza is a little bit of a cleaner option, believe it or not.
Well, it depends. This is a Super Bowl viewing situation at your house with just your family, or this is you're at a party?
I'm assuming that this is at a party because most people are
going
to be.
Yeah, but this is Adam, though. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, neither do I.
Right.
But a lot of other people.
Whoa.
But so if you're just getting food for yourself at your house, would you go pizza or wings?
I'm not going to be able to get either of those things because my wife is going to make me get.
Okay, your wife's out of town for Super Bowl weekend. Just you and the kids.
Oh, my gosh. Can I get to the Super Bowl?
You're going wings.
Oh, no, I'm going pizza.
Really?
But I'm going to go with like a Chicago style pizza. Mm. I'm not. You know, run into the grocery store and buying something out of the freezer.
Right.
I want something that I'm going to need a fork and a knife and probably a cardiologist for.
Right.
Okay. So Jamie, what's your pick here? Pizza or wings?
Well, I think it depends on the setting. If I'm at somebody else's Super Bowl party, I would go pizza. If I'm at home, I would go wings. Where I don't care if my fingers get dirty.
Really? Is that such a consideration here? The fingers? The dirty fingers?
Well, I wouldn't want to make a mess in somebody else's house where I'm a mess.
Have you ever seen somebody go for a high five with somebody else eating wings and you realize, like, in that split second before your hands touch that you're about to slap high five?
No, that doesn't happen.
He's got his wing germs all over his hand.
That doesn't happen. In fact, I don't like touching people. I don't want to high five them, so maybe wings is the way to go. This is actually a good strategy to avoid contact. And people fist pound now. We don't do the germy high fives and handshakes. I will say that I'm not a huge wings guy, but I always sort of associated it with the Super Bowl. So if there was one time per year where I was going to have wings, it would be the Super Bowl, and I would have voted for wings, which won 54% to 46. Now, I will also say potato chips with French onion dip are a requirement wherever I go for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so that's what you're getting for yourself this year?
I'm going to bring that to wherever I end up going, and I'll go somewhere.
You'll probably eat it all.
You know that you wouldn't? Would you partake in that?
No, I might partake in one dip, but I prefer far more eclectic dips than.
He just told you hummus and pita.
I don't think hummus and pita is
guacamole,
not appropriate.
Adam.
Wait, Dave, hummus and pita not appropriate for the Super Bowl. That is way too fancy. The Super Bowl is about like being gross and watching football. Hummus and pita is too prissy.
Dave, did I ever tell you that the most elaborate Super Bowl parties I went to was a person that Adam grew up with?
No, tell me.
Yes. I won't mention the family name, but so they grew up, what, was across the street, Adam?
Yeah, until I was probably 12 or 10 or 12 or something, yeah.
And so the best story that I heard about this, which is fitting because obviously we know probably most days Adam's au pair would drive them to school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so one
or
day,
the limo driver, Mike.
Or the limo driver. So one day, Adam's father had to take them to school, and it was what, you and the brother and sister.
Yeah, I think so. And we lived 3 minutes away from school.
So Adam's dad drove them straight to work. He went straight to work. Forgot the kids were in the back seat.
Oh man, is that true? Is that what happened?
That's what I was told.
I thought he just
you don't
got
remember?
Lost,
this happened to you. Not
maybe it
Jamie.
Wasn't you. Maybe it was your brother.
No. I was young, though, so I wouldn't have necessarily remembered. I thought he got
apparently
lost.
You guys were all afraid to say anything, so you just sat there.
Yeah, my dad's an interesting guy. Jamie met my dad, and he my dad like barely talked to him.
Yes. Yeah. You want me to tell that story?
No, that's okay, because it makes him sound mean. He's not mean. He's just very quirky. You gotta get to know him. You know. Anyway, when are you going to draft Tom Brady? Next year, what round are we looking at for Tom Brady, who finished the year as the number two quarterback in fantasy?
I mean, I'll probably never draft him because he's going to go earlier than I'll take a quarterback.
When would you take him? What value round is he?
I would look at the elite quarterbacks, which he's an elite quarterback in the round four range.
My goodness, that is crazy, crazy.
Why?
He'll never get him there.
It's though. Too late. It's almost like you think quarterbacks don't score any points. They score more points than anyone. They're important.
But that's the whole point.
You said quarterbacks. You didn't say Tom Brady.
I know, but still, the elite quarterbacks are still really good. And
of course, but you're asking me when I would take him. That's the way I draft. I would rather wait to find this year's Carson Palmer, who was the fourth best quarterback and finished what? He had 400 points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people are going to be targeting that. Like, nah, fine.
I wouldn't mind Brady in round three, but toward the end of round three.
No, look, I understand fully the way that I play the game is I'm not going to get these guys. So I go into it knowing that. But if he's still sitting there, because if I'm in a league or, you know, people finally start to realize that you don't have to take quarterbacks early, and there's a group that wait. And so maybe Cam goes early, and, you know, I think Rodgers and Luck are going to be better than Brady next year. So if somebody takes Rodgers ahead of Brady or whatever the case may be, and Brady's still standing there, then that's when I would consider.
I'd like to do a group informal poll. Question number one. Would you take any quarterback in round one, Adam Aizer?
In a 4 point per passing touchdown league, maybe
no,
Cam
six
Newton.
6 points. 6 points.
No, I would not.
Jamie?
Oh, you know the answer.
I wouldn't either.
What, round four? Round four?
Would you take any quarterback in round two?
Yes, I would.
You would take, who would that be?
Cam Newton.
Jamie, would you? I also would not. I would take Cam in three. Cam and Brady to me are round three type guys. That's when the value is good.
We'll talk about this more, but we just did this on video this week. Do you know the last time that the quarterback who finished number one repeated as the number one guy the following season?
I'm going to say Drew Brees.
No.
I have no idea.
Peyton Manning, 2003. 2004.
Now go find the last time that the number one running back repeated. That was, I think, LaDainian Tomlinson, like, yep. 2004 and 2005, or right around there.
Do you know the last time that the quarterback who was expected to be number one finished number one? So the guy who, based on average draft position, was drafted first overall, finished first overall.
No.
That was 2011 with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I bet you could make the same argument for most positions. Well, no. I bet for
what
running
happened
back
last year with that spot.
Yeah, last year was a terrible year for quarterbacks, but I look at Cam Newton.
No, but last year happened with running back.
What, it happened? The number one running back?
Yeah, Peterson was ADP number one and finished number one.
No, Devontae Freeman did he?
Maybe you're right.
Oh, you know what? I know Freeman did in PPR. I don't know about standard.
No, you might be right. You might be right. I thought Peterson might have finished him more.
But Antonio Brown finishes the number one receiver, right? And Gronk finishes the number one tight end.
What are you talking about, standard and PPR?
Yeah.
Yeah, Devontae, number one in both.
Mm. Okay. But Brown
AP
and Gronk
number
came
two,
through.
Right.
Well, it is interesting. All right. How about Carson Palmer? When are you drafting Carson Palmer? Where are you ranking Carson Palmer?
He's seventh for me.
Behind and in front of who?
He's behind Cam, Rodgers, Luck, Brady, Roethlisberger, Wilson.
I have Breeze ahead of Carson Palmer, as well as all those other guys.
So he's eighth for you?
Yeah.
Okay. David Johnson, first round pick?
Yes.
Yes.
And what about the Arizona wide receivers? Is Michael Floyd going to take the next step? Is he going to be a stud next year? What do you think about the three receivers for the Cardinals?
It's the second year in a row where Arians has really been glowing about him toward the end of the year or the offseason. He said it before the championship game. I think he's the best of the bunch just based on, you know, his skill set, his size. He's starting to look a little too muscular for me. He's reminding me a little bit of David Boston, just the way that he's getting too bulked up.
Too many muscles, too many.
Well, I mean, it could be a problem. I mean, you've seen these guys that get too big.
Do you say Dave Boston or Dave Richard?
I'm sorry?
You say David Boston or David Richard?
He's David Richard is very bulky.
Too many muscles.
I think he's the best of the bunch, though. And then Brown second and Fitzgerald's third. There's too much of a sample size of all three guys when they're playing together. And I think you look at it, Floyd is a low-end number two for me. I think he's like 23rd. John Brown's still in the top 30, and Fitzgerald's in the top 36.
Yeah, I don't think there's that much of a gap between Floyd and Brown. Mm-hmm. I will take Floyd first. I think he's a top 50 type player, and then John Brown probably closer to top 60.
So here's the thing with Floyd, or I don't know, maybe all of them. If one of them got injured, like, do you think Floyd, just put him on a different team, different situation where he's the clear-cut number one guy, is he a top 10 talent?
No, I'm not sure.
It depends on the team.
I really think that that's right.
I don't think he's Alshon Jeffrey, you know, where he's the number one guy on a team that doesn't have, and not to take it away from Jay Cutler, but just.
I don't know if Alshon Jeffrey is what you think Alshon Jeffrey is.
But I guess I'm thinking of just the guy by himself. You know, he's not Odell Beckham. I was going like a second tier guy.
Demaryius Thomas.
No, but that's a very good comparison because Thomas is now not with a good quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please, by the way, please, Demaryius Thomas. I really want to see a report that he's been playing most of the year with an injured finger or like 9 injured fingers because I cannot understand the drops. I can't understand it. It's unbelievable. He's playing so poorly this year.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see an explanation for that. All right.
You know what he averaged in the 6 starts with Osweiler?
No. I don't know. Do I even want to know?
9.3 fantasy points.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Well, just by comparison, Antonio Brown was 15.5 for the season.
9.3 is pretty good, though.
Well, I mean, look, you know, you talk about a very, very good comparison with Calvin Johnson, what you're saying. Do you feel like Demaryius Thomas was the top 12 receiver this year?
No. Did he finish there?
Yeah, he was top 12.
Oy.
So it just goes to show you how good these guys are that, you know, they still have these bad games and they still finish with good numbers overall.
I've got him as number 13, my man.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I believe he was tied.
Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall, Allen Robinson, Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins. That's 6. Baldwin, AJ Green, Calvin, Decker, Fitzgerald, Cooks, and then Demaryius Thomas, 13.
Nobody's tied there?
No, he's 6 points behind. No ties.
And you're looking at a standard league?
Yeah.
Well, this challenge is riveting.
That doesn't, okay, what, does so it really matter? He's 6 points behind number 12. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's all good.
I've got him 1 point better than Allen Hurns.
You do, huh? Oh, yeah, exactly. And Hurns was 14. All right, anyway.
Well, ready this is great.
Ready for emails?
Hold on. Let me calm down after that amazing back and forth. Okay, I'm ready.
All right, Dave, I want to know, who did you play with? What team did you play with? And what combination in NBA Jam?
I was the Pacers a lot in NBA Jam.
Really?
Singular Jam, not Jams.
Yeah. Do you remember
I liked Reggie Miller. He scored a lot of points.
Reggie Miller. Okay. I mean, you couldn't go. Oh, Michael Jordan wasn't in NBA.
He wasn't
Jam.
In it. Yeah.
That's right. How weak is that?
Pippen, Horace Grant.
How weak is that?
Yeah, not quite as good.
Okay. Anyway, Thad from a city in Georgia.
Do I really have to pick a city in Georgia?
What are you talking about? You love picking cities in Georgia.
Macon, Georgia.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for making up your mind. He says, hello, Mark, Alex, and Stan. Mark, Alex, and Stan. I'm not sure.
Why don't you think about it a little longer? Because people just want to hear you think.
I haven't missed an episode in 2 years, and I love the show. I'm stuck in a good dilemma. I need some mediocre advice. I have a keeper question for you guys. My league is a 10-team, half-point PPR league with 10 return yards per point league. So 1 point for 10 return yards. So he can keep 2 of these players for a maximum of 1 year. Antonio Brown in the 1st, Jarvis Landry in the 5th, Devontae Freeman in the 12th, or Jordan Reed in the 14th, pick 2.
The last 2.
Did he win his league?
I don't know.
Didn't say.
So it was Brown.
Brown in 1, Jarvis Landry in 5. I don't think you can do that. Devontae in round 12, which to me is a no-brainer, and then Jordan Reed in round 14.
But he also gets return yards, right?
Yeah, but Landry doesn't give you a ton of return yardage.
No, but it does help.
Not that much. Does he return kicks?
Punts.
Yeah. So how many punt return yards do you think he had this year?
Probably 200-300.
Right. It's not that much. It's 20 or 30 more points.
You know what the scoring is, though.
1 for every 10 yards.
How's that?
Okay.
And it's half-point PPR.
Yeah, I'm good with who I picked.
The only thing that I would say is if he won his league and he's picking 12th, Antonio Brown at 12 is pretty good.
All right, I'm going to change your mind, Dave. Jarvis Landry had 321 kick return yards and 356 punt return yards. So now we're talking almost 700 yards there.
So Landry and Freeman, unless he's, again, picking toward the end of the 1st round, maybe Antonio Brown.
Okay. Next email is from Scott in Salt Lake City, Utah. Dear Avon, Stringer, and Omar. Oh, by the way, I think the previous one was something called 17 again, which I don't know what that is. But this is The Wire. On last week's show, you had an email from another listener who plays in 12-team, four-division league. Okay, yeah. Four division winners make the playoffs, two additional wild cards. You dismissed it as a horrible league format. Four divisions for 12 teams. Four divisions with three. Okay, anyway.
So three teams per division.
Yeah, and four of them. I would argue that this is the best format for 12-team leagues who play with a traditional 13-week regular season, and here's why. Scheduling. This format allows you to play each divisional opponent twice and every other team in the league exactly once, and you can stack the schedule so you play all of your divisional games in weeks 1 through 3 and 11 through 13, which means 95% of all divisional games occur in weeks that do not have NFL teams on bye. Interesting.
Good argument. What do you
think? I don't really agree, though. I think it's...
Huh?
I don't agree. I think it's a stupid format.
Well, logically, though, it makes sense.
That is a very good argument for it, but it also makes it a little bit too easy to make the playoffs. Three damn teams in the division.
And you're playing them three times each.
No, two times each.
No, two times each.
Three times each.
Three times each?
Three teams in the division. You've got Jamie, you've got Adam, you've got Dave. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So week one.
Oh, right. Yeah, three times.
Jamie plays Dave, Adam plays somebody else. Week two, Jamie plays Adam, Dave plays somebody else. Week three, well, you've already played Adam and Dave once. So you've got to do it again.
You're right, Dave. You don't have to continue. You are correct.
I don't like it. I think it's a little, what do they say? We dismissed it as a horrible league format. That's what Scott wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's I.
I hear Sean in Farmington, Minnesota. 10-team PPR league, two flex, one offensive player. It's a dynasty league with 25-man roster and four IR. I don't really know why I'm reading this, because it's very complicated. So here we go. Here's a list of players. He needs to drop nine of them. I'm going to eliminate Alan Hearns. You know what? I'll let you guys do this. Okay, so we have to get rid of nine. Seth Roberts. Please don't turn off the podcast, people. We have more emails coming. Seth Roberts, Robert Turbin, Crockett Gilmore, David Cobb, Sharkhandrick West, Johnny Manziel. No, you know what? No, I'm not doing this. Let's reply to Sean. Let's just reply.
How many does he need to keep?
I don't know. I don't even know how many there are. He probably needs to keep
seven.
He
needs to keep four. He sent a list of 13 players.
Okay, so he's keeping Alan Hearns. He's keeping Tevin Coleman.
He's got to keep Danny Woodhead.
He's keeping Woodhead. He's keeping Philip Dorsett.
Okay, I like
it. Which means he's throwing back guys like Marcus
Gilmore,
Wheaton,
Robert
Turbin,
David Cobb. Yeah.
Crockett
those
Gilmore.
Are four you keep. Next.
Jamie's,
David Johnson.
Jamie's reading the email?
Yeah.
Oh.
You have to. You can't answer this. Like,
glorious.
Verbally.
Glorious day. All right, Mike.
I love how the email starts, quick version.
Yeah.
That was the quick version.
I didn't include the long version. I did not. Okay, Mike S. in Windsor, New York. Dear Cobra, Python, and Burrowing Asp. I realize the fantasy football season is over, but can we please try to stay focused? Engagement stories? Really? I don't have time for that nonsense. I'm dying over here. I really need your help. I'd like to know if there is a cure for snake bite. Here's the story. I've been the commissioner of a 12-team league since 2003. Over the past 13 seasons, I've won more games, scored more points, and earned more division titles than any other team, but I only have one championship in my name. That was 2007. I've been listening to your podcast for 4 years. There's no question it's made my team stronger. But the bottom line is he just doesn't win. He gets bad luck in the fantasy playoffs. So can we cure Mike's snake bite?
Nope. Sorry, dude. I mean, have loaded teams, and by the time you get to the playoffs, know who you're starting each week so you don't make a tough lineup.
Well, you know, he gave one example here about the day before one of his Super Bowls, I think, in his championship games. Somebody picked up Ryan Tannehill in 2014, and I guess Tannehill had a good game against Minnesota. What he needs to do is try and be a little bit more aggressive, I think, toward the end and not necessarily give somebody else the opportunity to pick up a player that has a good matchup or good opportunity.
Okay. Alex in Minnesota is in a 12-team PPR league. He can keep up to two players. I'm having a hard time deciding between potential injury concerns or safer, higher cost options. So, needs to decide by training camp.
Okay, so we better hurry.
He can't wait till the preseason. So don't say, let's see how he looks in preseason. Keep up to two. Jordy Nelson in the 10th. Jordan Reed in the 14th. Mark Ingram, 9th round. Jeremy Langford, 8th round. Brandon Cooks, 4th round. Devontae Parker, 8th round.
I would go with Nelson for sure. And Cooks in PPR. And now you have your two receivers locked up and you can go worry about everything else.
How do you pass on Jordan Reed in the 14th round?
Well, just he's concerned about injuries. So if he doesn't want to avoid injuries, then that's the way to go. If he's not worried about injuries, then I would go Nelson Reed.
Yeah, that's the way I would go.
Did Brandon Cooks really show you enough to make you convinced that he's worth a 4th round pick, PPR?
Yeah. No, but Drew Brees did.
Drew Brees, who like everybody was so mad at, big bust.
Yeah, he helped turn it around for Brandy Cooks. Brandon Cooks finished 13th in full point PPR.
We have one more email. Receivers. And I want to remind everybody before I read this last email that even though FanDuel football is over, you can start playing other sports. We love DFS for NBA, college sports. I love it for baseball. I can't wait to start playing that again. So go to FanDuel.com and explore and find out all the other types of games you can play and the types of contests you can play, tournaments, double ups, some of the more high risk stuff, some of the safer stuff where half the pool or just about half wins their money back. Also, you can listen to Heath Cummings and Chris Towers and Ryan Bass on the podcast, the Daily Fantasy Live podcast, and the Daily Fantasy Live video show, 4 p.m. Eastern, to help you specifically with FanDuel, the leader in one-week fantasy football. You are going to love it, leader in one-week fantasy. I mean, they are the best for DFS, no question about it. You'll love FanDuel, so give it a try at FanDuel.com. And now time for our last email from Matt Wildstein in Porter Ranch. Sounds nice. This is my first year playing in a keeper league, and you can flex a second quarterback. So it's basically like a two quarterback league. So he needs to keep up to two. Rob Gronkowski for a first rounder. Jeremy Hill for a second rounder. Tom Brady in the 3rd. Dalton in the 5th. Marshall in the 6th. Brandon Marshall. Arian Foster, forget him, in the 8th, 7th. John Brown in the 9th. Darren McFadden in the 9th. You guys can look at the rest and tell me there's anything you see there, but it's probably going to come down to the higher guys. Gronkowski in the 1st, Hill in the 2nd, Brady in the 3rd, Dalton in the 5th, Brandon Marshall in the 6th, and then some other flyers. What do you guys think?
There is no slam dunk on this list.
Brady is a slam dunk because it's basically a two-quarterback league.
It's a 2QB league.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
I take it all back. There are two slam dunks on this list.
Brady and Dalton?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brady's his starter. Dalton's his flex. He's good to go.
Booyah! Well, thank you, guys. See, we finally got Jamie to take Tom Brady in the 3rd round.
That's right. 2QB league. I would take him in the 1st round.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for today's
show. 2nd overall pick.
What the hell are we going to do this weekend? I'm not watching the Pro Bowl.
What?
What are we going to do this weekend? I don't want to watch the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know.
Go outside, Adam.
Yeah, go outside. It's easy for you to say. It's like 75 degrees where you are.
We have tornadoes here, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, today. But tomorrow will be beautiful. In fact, tonight will be beautiful. Okay, that's it. I'm going to end the show.
Now you're a weatherman?
Fantasy football at CBSI.com. Wings over pizza. French onion dip.
What are you serving at your Super Bowl party?
I'm not going.
Adam's
I'm not hosting there. One. I'm going to go.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking
you. You should watch
audience.
It with Nando.
Oh. I don't know. You know, I wish it were either earlier in the day or everybody got Super Bowl Monday off. But it's hard to travel far.
Oh, yeah. It's really hard for you to work from home?
Not for me, but for the girlfriend who has a test the next day, we can't really stay out too late.
Unbelievable.
Who schedules a test the day after the Super Bowl?
Dave, I covered, I forget what Super Bowl it was, but I covered Titans Rams Super Bowl.
Okay.
In Atlanta. That's why I said Falcons. So my girlfriend at the time was not my wife. She was in Gainesville, Florida. And we drove. I flew into Jacksonville. She picked me up in Jacksonville. We drove to Atlanta. And then Monday morning, I'm flying out of Jacksonville. She had a test. So the idea was, we were staying with buddies of mine in Atlanta. Idea was she's going to study while, I'm at the game and then, drive home. She doesn't study. She watches the game.
Of course.
She sleeps the whole ride home. I forget how she did the test, but she had a test Monday after.
She obviously did well. She's a successful businesswoman.
Yes.
Puts our careers to shame.
And I missed my flight.
And you missed your flight?
Yes.
Ooh, that's
bad. I stayed
bad.
Too long riding.
What angle did you take? Were you in the Rams locker room after the game or the?
You can't make deadline on a newspaper and go to the locker room.
Which newspaper?
This was my first newspaper. It was the Boca Raton News.
Okay.
So I wrote a column, I wrote a game story, and then for our second edition, I redid the game story. But you can't go to the locker room. You just have to rely on quotes. There really is no locker room for a Super Bowl. Unless they just bring guys, at least at that point, they bring guys out.
Can't go walking around while they're celebrating?
No. As a matter of fact, if you don't start writing while the game's ending. I mean, I watched the end of the game on TV.
How could you do that?
Meter room. Huh?
How could you write that with that game ended? It was
because
so close.
You write the three quarters of it before the game's over. It's a more setting scene.
Right.
I wonder why newspapers are dying.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye. Bye.